Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to St. Mark in the 10th chapter as we hear of Jesus blessing little children. Beginning with verse 13, this is what we hear. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such of these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This month of October, we are celebrating lots of things. Last week, we celebrated World Communion Sunday, where we remembered that when we gather around the Lord's table, it's not just us here in Hollywood, but we are united at that table with all of our brothers and sisters from around the world. Today we're celebrating Children's Sabbath, which many of our brothers and sisters in other denominations will celebrate next weekend. However, next weekend, United Methodists have traditionally held the third Sunday of October for Laity Sunday. And we want to celebrate that too. So the United Methodist Church moves Children's Sabbath up a week. So we celebrate children, the gift that they are to us as individuals, to us as a faith community, and to the whole world today. We celebrate and honor children, but we also take a moment to acknowledge that children today have concerns and worries and fears as well, and acknowledge that that's something that they have in their lives, and that we can help hold and support them in those times. Our gospel lesson today, we hear about a little bit of one of those times. There's a crowd around Jesus. He's been teaching and preaching, and a lot of people have gathered. And the disciples are trying to keep order in the crowd. And maybe it started with a few of the kids making some noise. Maybe they were playing hide and seek around their parents' legs, or maybe they were playing tag in the back, and the game got a little rowdy and infiltrated the crowd a little bit. And maybe Jesus said something that caught their attention, and they just start creeping forward because they realize that Jesus has something special for them, that in their need, no matter what it is, that he has something for them, a blessing. He can heal them, whatever it is that they need. And so these children start coming toward Jesus, and the disciples think, oh no, this will never do. Because you see, in the first century, children were unimportant. They were considered a bother. They were the lowest part of society, and they were oftentimes ignored. The disciples were simply indicating to these children that they needed to stay back, that Jesus was busy, that he was too important to be bothered by the needs of children. However, Jesus' take on this is a little different. He's upset at the disciples that they've refused that the children can come to him. You see, he taught them something differently just 25 short verses before. He taught them that whoever welcomes, whoever offers hospitality to a child is doing it to Jesus. So the disciples, in rejecting the children and holding them at arm's length, Jesus says is like rejecting himself, holding Jesus back at arm's length. They're doing the opposite of what they've just been taught, these disciples. Jesus, on the other hand, says, "Come to me." And he puts a hand on every child and blesses each of them. The problem wasn't that Jesus couldn't do the things that the children desired or needed. The problem was that the disciples' imagination and sense of who God was too small. The disciples tried to keep the children from Jesus. But Jesus reminded them, "Let the little children come to me." It's sort of like that time when the disciples wanted to send all of those hungry people gathered on a hillside away. And Jesus said, "We can feed them." And it's sort of like that time when a parent had a child who was in terrible trouble and came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "I'll help." It's like the time that a woman in poverty gave two small coins, all that she had. And Jesus honored her generosity. We gather together in the name of Jesus, the one who welcomed children, who fed the hungry, who helped children in trouble, and who recognized the gifts of those in poverty. Today in our country, 1 in 5 children lives in poverty. I hope that we're not growing immune to that sort of number, that 1 in 5 of our children lives in poverty. I hope we never see that as something that's natural. We do see a lot of images of pain, of destruction, of despair, of devastation on TV, and we don't get to reach out and comfort firsthand. We see thirst and need for clean drinking water, but we often aren't able to firsthand satisfy that need. I hope that each time we hear one of these stories or see one of these headlines, we don't just think that it's another story or another headline, that we can ignore it or stifle the pain. Why is that? Because every one of those faces, those people, those children, men, women, families, has a face. And in their face, we see a reflection of God. Maybe it's a person who's young. Maybe it's a person who's old. Maybe it's a person who's unemployed or who has lacked opportunity. Maybe it's someone who needs shelter after a hurricane. On this Children's Sabbath weekend and throughout the year to come, I want us to be a people who respond when we see the face of Christ in another, particularly remembering children today. Our response to hearing Jesus say, "Let the children come to me," is to not only hear, but to be moved into action, to respond to children and youth in need. Jesus reminds his disciples, "Whoever receives a child receives me." We're to welcome, accept, and care for children as a valuable part of our community and world. In the Gospels, even though children were not highly valued in terms of their societal status, we see Jesus encountering them over and over again, responding to their needs over and over again. There's the daughter of Jairus, who was 12 years old, that Jesus helped in Mark chapter 5. Then there's the daughter of the Canaanite woman that we hear about in Mark chapter 7. In fact, we read that scripture last week. She was the one who just knew that the crumbs under the table would be more than enough. Then there's the story of the widow of Nain's son. And we hear that in Luke chapter 7. There's a boy with epilepsy that's healed in Mark chapter 9. There's the son of the centurion that we hear about in Luke chapter 7. The son of the public officer in John chapter 4. And there's the boy who saves the day with his little lunch. 5 loaves and 2 small fish that feed the multitude gathered on the hill in John chapter 6. Jesus practiced what he taught his disciples. He cared for children and offered them blessings all along the way. And we get to carry on that part of Jesus' ministry. We've already begun taking some steps towards that. This fall, we started a brave new step through heartfelt ministry. We're filling 10 tummies of students in our community who would otherwise be food insecure on the weekends. We send home backpacks with enough food for the weekend. But friends, that's just one step on the road. We also care for children in our community through our reading partnership with our neighborhood elementary school. By reading with children, helping them learn to read sound words out, spending time with them, building up their self-esteem, we increase their chances of staying in school, of holding jobs, of contributing to society, of changing the world for the better. 30 minutes once a week. It can change the world, one child at a time. That's one step we can take. We also provide pajamas and socks and underwear, a toothbrush, toothpaste, some basic school supplies, and a few other small things as a gift, a small measure of grace and love to children who are in crisis and who are in shelters through our Pajama Connection ministry. We identify the dignity and worth in these children. We say we care about you. Hopefully they hear that as being treasured and deserving of God's blessing as well. It's another small step that we take. It's good that we're taking these steps as a congregation. But what are you doing personally to extend the hand of Jesus' blessing to children? We have children with big worries and fears in our midst. Children who worry about the state of their families. Children who worry about school. Children who worry about their country and their world. They get exposed to things like bullying, drugs, families that are torn apart, homelessness, chronic health issues, abuse from authority figures, and poverty. Children face complex and perplexing problems. And they're often pushed to the side and told that their problems are nothing compared to the problems of adults. But instead of adding to their mountain or hindering them from finding solutions, what if we got involved? What if we were the ones to bless them, to cover them with God's love, to dress them, to feed them, to help them learn and grow to be all that God is calling them to be? We mustn't fail to show children, ours and others, the love and mercy and compassion of Jesus. We have an invitation to see our communities and our children as those places where God is at work to heal and to restore. And it's not all about taking away the problems, but surrounding one another with people who understand, who care, and who are willing to help discover together what it means to reach out in love and compassion. We are those whom God loves. whom God is healing, whom God needs, and whom God will use to make all things new. So let's get going. Why would we want to refuse a blessing of God to someone in need? Amen.